Nearly 2,000 years ago, on this exact day, Jesus Christ rose from the grave, and he is alive today, saving people and transforming their lives into lives of purpose and meaning and fulfillment and love. And I'm praying that that happens for you today in a profound way, all because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. As you may know, after the religious leaders and the Romans tortured Jesus ruthlessly and crucified him, he died on the cross. Two of Jesus' followers petitioned for his body so that they could give Jesus a proper burial. The two men were Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. And the Jews had a very exacting process of burial that started with placing Jesus' sheet-covered body, a sheet that covered him just one layer, head to toe, front to back. They placed his sheet-covered body on a board so it could be bathed with lukewarm water. Jesus would then have been clothed in grave vestments made of white linen. Starting at his feet, the two men would have wrapped Jesus' body in linen cloth, placing these aromatic spices mixed with a gummy substance called myrrh between all of the folds. For Jesus, it's estimated that there were between 75 and 100 pounds that were being used in those folds. Jewish custom dictated that Jesus' legs and torso would be wrapped all the way up to his armpits, and then his preparers would have placed his arms straight alongside his body before wrapping more linen cloth around him all the way up to the neck. Then there was a separate cloth that was wrapped around his head. That gummy myrrh would have adhered so closely to Jesus' body that it would have been very difficult by this point for anybody to even remove the linen cloth, let alone for a body to move inside it. It was then laid in a tomb that was carved out of the rock. Each tomb had this groove or this trough that was cut into the rock floor at the entrance, so that when this large stone was rolled into place, the entrance would be effectively sealed closed by this giant stone. Tombstones were very large, usually about 6 feet high. I'm 6'2", or at least I used to be. And so at least this large and several inches thick. And these stones weighed between 2 and 4 tons. A large wax seal was placed on the seam of the tomb in order to keep anybody from desecrating the grave. And then for extra security, two guards were placed by the tombstone. Even if Jesus' disciples had tried to remove his body, Jewish leaders were afraid that they might, Jesus' followers would have found it impossible to break the seal and roll that giant stone away from the entrance. Gravity, not just the stone's weight, would have been against them, as well as the Roman guards who were guarding the tomb. All of that to say that the stone in front of the tomb was immovable, meant to keep Jesus inside that tomb, dead to the world. Guess what happened next? We're told that with an earthquake and a brilliant flash of light, that stone rolled away, and Jesus walked out fully alive with the grave clothes neatly folded where they lay in the tomb, meaning it was as if the body just sort of passed through the clothes and the spices and the wrappings, and they just simply deflated neatly. The head covering was folded up and on the side. Jesus actually folded it up and set it aside, like you would maybe if you were at a fancy dinner at a restaurant and you'd finished and you folded up the cloth napkin and set it aside. Jesus just folded it up, set it aside, and then walked right out. Soldiers turned white in fear and then fled into the new day. And then an angel placed himself down on top of that tombstone as if to say, no big deal for Jesus. And out he came. My friends, I submit to you today that just like Jesus' grave, there are massive, immovable stones in your life that are keeping you locked in a grave. Tombstones in your life that keep you from stepping out of the grave into a life of freedom and function and fullness. And these stones effectively seal you in a tomb of less than living. Listen, God has always wanted you to live life to the fullest in a loving and abundant relationship with Him. But tombstones keep you sealed up, wrapped up, and dead to your potential. If you're going to walk out of your tomb today and leave here a new person, a changed person, then we better identify the tombstones so you can let Christ roll them away from your life and set you free, because rolling away stones is no big deal for Jesus. For far too many of us, one of the significant tombstones that keeps us in a grave of less than living is the stones of trauma. The stone of trauma. You know, all of us carry around some degree of unresolved pain and hurt from our past. Now, maybe for a very few of us, the source was self-inflicted, but for the vast majority of us, these are things that have been done to us, maybe especially by those that we should have been able to trust. Statistically, 70% of Americans have trauma. Trauma is the result of an event that is jarring, whether it's life-threatening or harmful physically or emotionally, and it has long-lasting effects on our psychological health. On average, over 30% of both boys and girls will experience at least one traumatic event as children, and some research says that number could be as high as 45%. 5% of all those who experience trauma result in PTSD, and over a third of those have severe PTSD. Of course, if you've experienced trauma, these statistics don't really mean a whole lot to you. All you know is the trauma that you carry. And maybe what you remember is the pain. Maybe you carry the shock and betrayal that someone who should have protected you but didn't instead did terrible things to you. Maybe it's the shame you carry because you wrongly think that somehow you brought it on yourself, or you should have prevented it, or maybe you didn't fight back hard enough. Maybe for you it's the shock of having seen or experienced traumatic things that happened to you or maybe to someone else. You know, at least 13% of veterans have PTSD. That's the military's number, so you know that's probably low. Nearly 90% of veterans have been exposed to potentially traumatic events, and the same numbers are true for first responders. So you might be sitting here with your family, the people closest to you, and they have no idea what you have been carrying inside. But God knows, and He not only knows, He hurts and He grieves over it. He never wanted you to be hurt that way or for you to have to go through so much trauma. He loves you so much. Listen to the words of King David, who, by the way, was himself no stranger to trauma. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. If you're suffering from trauma, you know what it feels like to be crushed in spirit. Friends, this is the heart of God for you as you carry your trauma with you. The Lord is close to you and He wants to save you. And this is what Jesus died to make available for you, to bring peace and purpose and even healing into your trauma. In the Bible, we see that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He looks at your life and He has compassion on you. That is because you have a God who loves you with everything that He is. He created you to love you. And knowing you would go through those traumatic experiences, He sent His Son to die for you and then rise from the dead to roll that trauma stone away. You don't have to keep being locked in a grave by it. And so the feelings of helplessness, the exhaustion, the feelings of inadequacy or guilt or fear or anger or even the addictions that you've been trying to medicate it with. Friend, God loves you right now. In all of that, He loves you and He wants to set you free. And so as you think about the trauma that has kept you sealed in the book of Romans, God says this to you right now, and see if this doesn't show you that He knows what you're going through. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or trauma? That's what that is. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. You may know what that feels like. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are loved by God, and nothing, not even your trauma, can separate you from His love for you. Because He loves you, He will roll that stone away and set you free. Now, I know that not all of us have experienced that level of trauma. But all of us do have challenges and pain and hurt and failures and fears that keep us entombed in a less than full life. And so we can call this the stone of troubles. You know, with each new year, you can't help but notice that mental health issues are increasingly surrounding us at every turn. We see it in our classrooms. We see it on campuses. We see it in our streets. We see it in our families. We see it in our workplaces. We see it in our friends. And maybe, most of all, we recognize it within the confines of our own minds. We live in a broken down world that's just getting more broken down by the minute. Dysfunction rules the day on social media and in the news and in politics and in society and in relationships. Mental health issues are rising at an alarming rate. Nearly 25% of the population of the U.S. has been diagnosed with a mental health disorder of some kind. One survey of U.S. college students showed that over 73% reported feeling moderate to severe psychological stress. And folks, this is just the beginning. I mean, we're only now starting to see the effects of a year of lockdowns and the mandatory isolation of children from their schools and from their friends. In addition, our kids are facing a global identity crisis. They are desperate for identity, and well, they should be. But they're creating identities in ways that were considered mental health issues just a few years ago. Instead of finding identity in who they are in Christ, a beloved child of God, they chase after the latest social contagions and psychogenic illnesses. This has all impacted all of us, and it's amplified our levels of anxiety and dysfunction. We have more stress than ever in our personal lives and relationships. I mean, think about it. All of us, if we're honest, all of us carry some level of dysfunction in our identity and in our relationships and in our thinking. And so the stone of troubles can keep us entombed, and we become distrusting and dishonest and sullen and cynical and confused and easily coerced and fearful and fatigued. Almost all of us carry around guilt or regret or disappointment or hurt. And on top of all of that, the news and the social media just keeps us bombarded with the worldwide reality of wars and disasters and inflation and racism and political vitriol and conspiracies on all sides. Distrust in government and business and law enforcement and even churches is at an all-time high. No wonder we have so much anxiety. And that anxiety is real, especially for our young people. But Easter means that Christ can roll away the stone of troubles that keeps you in a tomb of anxiety and even broken thinking. I want you to hear the story of one young lady who found the healing and hope and direction that she needed in the resurrected Christ. Watch this. Isn't that great? And Lexi's story can be yours. Christ can roll away the stone of troubles in your life and turn it into purpose and meaning and a source of life. Please hear what Jesus says to you today. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You can trust this Jesus who can roll away the tombstone of your anxiety, depression, dysfunction, fear, anger, pain, and grief. In him, you can find your identity as a beloved of God. He is near you and wants to give you peace. Here's Jesus' own words to you. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't see a counselor or a doctor or a pastor or all the above, but most of all and deepest of all, you have Jesus Christ, who is called the Wonderful Counselor, and you can have God's presence with you, the Holy Spirit, who's called the Comforter and the Counselor in John 14. Jesus will roll away the stone of broken thinking and troubles and give you a way of thinking that brings health and wholeness into your mind and into your life. That, my friends, is a life in which the stone of troubles has been rolled away. Now, it could be that you're here today and you have not experienced trauma. And maybe you're one of those rare unicorns that has a trouble-free life. Well, good for you. But for all of us, every one of us, there is one stone that must be rolled away. And this is the stone of transgression. You might not be familiar with that word, but it's a word in the Bible for the human condition. Transgression is a word that the Bible uses to describe sin, how we violate God's law of love and justice and righteousness. Sin is both our condition and our actions. It's our condition because it's in our blood. We inherited it from our first parents when they deliberately chose to disobey God in the Garden of Eden in paradise. And when they sinned, that cursed sin virus entered their DNA, and they have passed it on to every single one of us. This virus always leads to death. Death of our spirit, death of our ability to be in any kind of a relationship with God, and then that death works its way out to our physical lives. It's not just a spiritual death. It's a physical death. Don't believe me? So far, the research is pretty emphatic that the death rate continues to be a solid 100%. We all die because of sin. We were not made to die. It is the result of sin that we were born with. And more, before we die a physical death, that sin works its way out into the way we think and the way we live and all the trauma and troubles that we've been talking about. It's why we live in a world of disease and evil and death. We're all born in it and with it, so we're condemned before we even start. That's what the Bible means when it says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Everyone. That means we've all got the stone of transgression keeping us sealed in a tomb of death. And the only cure for it would be someone whose blood doesn't have the sin curse to die in the place of those who do. Only Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, has that kind of sinless blood. But in case you think, I'm just a victim of this sin disease. Well, remember I said it's both a condition and it's an action. Sin is a willful violation of a known law of God. That means you knew something was wrong, but you did it anyway. Or you knew something was right, but you didn't do it anyway. But wait, you might say, I haven't even read the Bible, so I didn't even know that I committed sin. You know, years ago in a former life, I patrolled for the Oregon State Police, and we used to have a saying that we had to use often, ignorance is no excuse for the law. The law is the law. Whether you acknowledge it or even know it, you are without excuse. And then, even if you have not read God's Word, the Bible, you do have a conscience that God has given you. And this is what the Bible says about that. God will punish sin wherever it is found. He will punish the heathen when they sin. That means, that's a word for those who've never even read the Bible, don't even know God. He will punish them when they sin, even though they never had God's written laws. For down in their hearts, they know right from wrong. God's laws are written within them, so their own conscience accuses them. So we're without excuse. We're all guilty of transgression, which has placed this stone over our lives that keeps us in a tomb of death. Every one of us. But listen to what the Bible says here. For the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. But the good news is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ is the one who can roll that stone away that keeps you in spiritual death and darkness, wrapped so tightly that you can't even move in a life of transgressions and trouble or even trauma. Jesus died and rose from the dead so that the stone that keeps you in the grave can be rolled away by him and you can walk into new life in Christ, a life of freedom and healing and eternal life forever in heaven. That's what the Bible means when it says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. All because of the resurrection, the stone of transgression can be rolled away from your life. Amen? There's another story I want you to watch from someone else in our church. It's the story of Jesus rolling the stone away in the life of a man who experienced far more than his share of trauma and troubles. And then the realization that his own transgressions all combined to seal him in a tomb until he encountered the resurrected Jesus. What Terry didn't tell you is last summer he actually died of an overdose of what he thought was heroin but was fentanyl. Took 4 doses of Narcan and CPR to bring him back. But God had some things for him, didn't he? And since then, Terry is now a member of the church. And in 2 weeks, he's going to be baptized. And that can be your story, too. And by the way, if you have not been baptized, man, fill out a card or reach out to us online. Let us know. We'd love to have you be a part of that. But isn't it time you let Jesus roll that stone away in your life? It is keeping you entombed. But Jesus can remove that stone for you. It's really not a big deal for him. So today, on Easter Sunday, 2024, let's allow Jesus to roll that stone away. Maybe you need to ask Jesus to forgive you of your transgressions and let the resurrection power set you free and make you a new creation. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come forward and to take one of these small stones that's in these baskets. That'll be a tangible expression of what you've trusted Jesus to do. Now, maybe you've already accepted Christ, and yet you still struggle in a tomb of trauma or troubles. You can come forward and take one of these stones as a step of faith that you're going to trust Jesus to heal you and roll that stone away and set you free. Or maybe today you just want to come forward and take one of these stones as a marker of what Christ has already done in your life. We're going to sing. Pastor Israel is going to lead us in a song. And as we do, I encourage you to come get one of these stones and then take it back to where your place of worship is. And then we'll move toward concluding our time together. But if you feel led, for whatever reason, to come and get one of these markers, these stones, then please come. All over this room, Jesus Christ himself has rolled away immovable tombstones of transgressions and troubles and trauma. And you're ready to walk out of here into a brand new life in Christ. And so to help you mark this day, if you would like to, at the back of the room, there's two tables over here and one over here, and there are some different colored permanent markers on that table. You can stop and wait your turn, and you can use those to write today's date on that stone or anything else you want to write that will help you remember the significance of this event that has changed your life. Now we're going to sing one more song as we leave here, praising Jesus for rolling the stone away. But before we do, listen to what the Bible says about you now that Christ has rolled the stone away from you. It's from Ephesians chapter 2, it's verses 1 through 7. Once you were under God's curse, doomed forever for your sins. You went along with the crowd and were just like all the others, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air, who's at work right now in the hearts of those who were against the Lord. All of us used to be just as they are, our lives expressing the evil within us, doing every wicked thing that our passions or evil thoughts might lead us into. We started out bad, being born with evil natures, and we were under God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were spiritually dead and doomed by our sins, he gave us back our lives again when he raised Christ from the dead. Only by his undeserved favor have we ever been saved and lifted us up from the grave into glory along with Christ, where we sit with him in the heavenly realms, all because of what Christ Jesus did. And now, may God always be able to point to us as examples of how very, very rich his kindness is, as shown in all he has done for us through Jesus Christ. Are you grateful? Yes. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing to him one more time before we head out.